Thank you, Ms. Wanda. If you're taking your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, we begin our study in Matthew's Jesus, our Sovereign King. And we come to a passage of scriptures that we all know well, the feeding of the 5,000. And we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 21. And I want to challenge you tonight by what is the real spiritual truth and the real meaning behind our text tonight. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, get back to doing what we used to do. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, if you will. And I know that we're all older, and I'll give you some time to stand, okay? Verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, what is that? Remember, John the Baptist's death. He departed thence by ship into a desert place. Remember last week, we did talk about the death of John the Baptist, how you can kill the messenger, but you never kill the message, and we talked about how the message goes on. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past." In other words, they're not going to get home before dark. "Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looked up to heaven. He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Notice that chain there. We're going to talk about that near the end. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And when they had eaten, there were about 5,000 men besides the women and children. Father, I pray tonight, if there's one thought gets drilled into our head tonight, is that you are sufficient for our every need. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle, the only pre-crucifixion miracle taught in all 4 of the Gospels. Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed more than 5,000 people, including the women and children. Bible scholars believe and estimate there was probably 15,000 to 20,000 people there, counting their wives and the children. And each Gospel writer tells the story from a different perspective, a different angle to stress different points. Matthew wants to emphasize the effect of the miracle on his disciples. So not so much the crowd. And remember with that series I went through, there's a truth behind every miracle. And you miss it if you don't interpret the scriptures correctly. There's a truth that God wants to get across. And also he again is testing the disciples in the lab so that they can go out and carry the message later and trust him. Okay? So the faith of the disciples grew in different ways through this account. And as we look at it, I want to share with you 3 things tonight, three ways their faith grew and 3 ways that our faith can grow as well. Number 1, they learned to reflect on the compassion of Jesus. In verses 13 and 14, look at it. And when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. You know, you can imagine Jesus is really, like us in his humanity, he was tired. And it says, when Jesus went forth and saw the great multitude, was moved with compassion toward them. Now, that word saw there doesn't mean just glancing at them and just, oh, well, you know. It means that he saw something that we usually don't see because we don't look for it. He was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. So first of all, they learned to reflect on the compassion of Jesus. Here's Jesus, wearied from the events and the crowds and just getting the news about John the Baptist dying, being beheaded. He gets into the boat to rest, but the crowds followed him. Jesus did not order the crowd to go home and come back the next day, right? Instead, he was moved with compassion for them. Now, many received Jesus superficially, and they received Jesus with a shallow kind of way, but we'll find out as you know the Gospels that they usually just fell away because they didn't really believe in him. Now, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verse 20. Matthew chapter 13, verse 20, and I'm not going to go further until I hear Bibles start turning, okay? Matthew 13, verse 20. You've heard of the parable of the sower and the seed. The sower went out to sow, indiscriminately casting the seed. Some laid by land on hard ground, some on stony ground, some on thorny ground, and some on good ground. And we get from that parable, as the sower is the Lord Jesus Christ, who goes out and spreads the gospel, that there's only about 1/4 of people that hear the gospel that believe. And the same way with us. And Matthew 13, verse 20, talks about stony soil. And this goes along with these people here who were superficial believers, were shallow believers. And you can always detect them, right? They're the first ones to fall off the wagon, right? They're the first ones that fall out of church. Time gets hard, and they get going, right? Matthew 13, verse 20, Jesus said this, "But he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and with joy received it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." In other words, they were superficial believers. And when persecution came because of the word, right, those that are not really followers of Christ, when going gets tough, and when God begins to sift his people here in the coming weeks and months and years, they're just going to fall away. And they didn't believe. Because why? They were offended by the word. Now, Jesus, go back to our text, if you will. Jesus performed some miracles as signs of his identity. We know he came to be show signs and miracles because he was the Messiah. And that's what the Messiah would do when he came on the scene, but yet they rejected that. He used other miracles to teach important truths. And again, I tell you, the miracles we looked at of our Lord, and we looked at the truth behind the miracle, and he just didn't heal somebody, just didn't cause something in creation to happen, for it to happen. There was a behind every, especially in John, behind every miracle, he revealed a great truth when he got through with the miracle. See? And so there's a truth behind every miracle, and many people just missed that. You know, especially prosperity gospel preachers, you know, they miss that at all. They don't go for the truth. They just go for the miracle. But here we read that he healed people because he had compassion on them. Jesus was and is a loving, he's a caring God. He's a feeling person. When we suffer and he hurts and he suffers as well, Jesus suffers when his people suffer. Oh, that should have been an amen right there. Okay, that's right. Good. Man, y'all a slow bunch tonight, right? All right. If y'all don't get alive, we're going to take up an offering, right? But, see, he always healed because he wanted to get across an object lesson to them. He has compassion. He's our great high priest. He went through everything that we went through and tempted in all manners as we were. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And that word compassion there means to yearn in the bowels. See, in the Bible days, they thought that the bowels was the seat of our emotions. And it's yearn in the bowels, to feel sympathy, to pity, to move to action. We may look at a need, whether it's spiritual or physical, and we might just think, oh, well, you know, somebody else is going to meet. But we're not really moved with compassion. And we really don't have compassion until we're moved to action, right? And this is what Jesus is talking about here. He gave an object lesson on compassion to his disciples and what they needed to be involved in. So we learned that. We learned the compassion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through this miracle that he performed. Secondly, in verses 15 and 17, the disciples learned to rely on the resources of Jesus, right? Not their own resources, but the resources of Jesus. In verse 15, the disciples suggested that Jesus send them away to get something to eat. no thought of the fact that this miracle worker was with them and that he could supply the meal if he wanted to. They were out in the middle of nowhere, and they felt inadequate to meet the need. How many times have you ever felt inadequate to meet a certain need? Amen. You know, in humanity we are, right? In humanity we are. Verse 16, Jesus said, they need not depart, give them something to eat. And that didn't compute with them, right? You know, we got five loaves and two fish. That's not enough, right? And that's what computed with them, but by walking by sight, not walking by faith. Verse 17, the disciples responded by saying, we have only five loaves and two fish. I want to rock your world. Most times when you hear this passage preached, it's on the little lad with his lunch, right? But is that the emphasis that Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, and he's trying to teach us today? And the little boy is to be commended. I've heard sermons that, you know, I don't listen to preachers that tell stories when they're preaching and read into the text something that's not there. I heard one guy one time, he talked about the little lad, you know, and his mother made his little lunch there at home and packed him everything that he liked, you know, and now, Johnny, you go off and, you know, you eat your lunch. And no, that's not in the text, right? Are y'all dead or what? All right. We need to take a few blood pressures, Miss Barbara. You got your blood pressure cuff with you? Okay, are y'all alive or what? Y'all listen up. Your preacher's going to get upset in a minute. The point of the miracle is not the lad who gave all he had, but Jesus was calling them to something that they could not do in their own power and with their own resources. He wanted them to realize their insufficiency and his sufficiency in at least two ways. Y'all get that? Remember the Gospel of John? Right after this account in the Gospel of John, Jesus talked about how he's the bread of life, right? Number one, Jesus meets needs in us. Jesus Christ is sufficient to meet our needs. Jesus taught the crowds. He was the bread of life in John's account right after this miracle. That lets us know that's the main point of the passage. Jesus is the one who satisfies. He is the bread of life. He's our sustainer. He's our satisfier of our souls, as John account does say. He is the bread of life. That's one of the great I ams in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life, right? And then Jesus not only meets needs in us, Jesus meets needs through us. What a novel idea, right? Jesus calls his servants to serve others' needs through his sufficiency. Look in verses 18 and 19, if you will, of our text. Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took five loaves and two fishes, and looking up to heaven, blessed it and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. So here, Jesus meets needs through us. That's always been God's program. We are his hands, his feet, his eyes. We are his mouth. And, you know, you can't walk away from a need and ignore it and say, well, God wants to help him, he will. God might be calling you to help the need, right? And he's the vine, we're the branches, right? If we don't, not united to him, we can't bear no fruit, right? But he's the one who does it through us, through vessels, right? Now, the bread multiplied from the hands of Jesus, that's what our text says, to the hands of the disciples and to the people. That was the miracle of multiplication, right? Can't you imagine every time they reached down in the basket? I said, John looked over at Peter and said, Peter, I got more fish than I started with, right? The miracle is in the multiplication. And the miracle of God today is in the multiplication of his people that go out, right? And have compassion and meet needs here. Jesus is sufficient to meet our needs and the needs of others through us. No need complaining about what God ain't doing. Is God doing something through you? That's the question. You know, we ask the question, do you know people in need and spiritually and physically? Right? We do. What can I do? I only have this. I can't help. But it's not what I can't do, but it's what he can do through us, right? That's it. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples. You know, again, the little boy is to be commended because he gave all he had and Jesus multiplied it. but the real the text is really teaching us that he's sufficient to meet all the needs, right? So may we be most generous, giving, serving, and you are. You're a very giving church. We're able to do a lot of things that we could not do unless you were being a good giver to God's house, sacrificing, proclaiming the gospel, going out, wherever you're at. Brother Robert was talking to me and Brother Marcus tonight just on several things about when he shared the gospel, you know, just recently. So we are, as his body, we are an extension of his mercy and his grace, right? If God's going to do a work, listen to me, he's going to do it through his church, right? He's going to do it through his people. That's why we don't have a time of day for anybody that claims they have a ministry, but they don't come under the auspice of the local New Testament church. That's where all authority comes from ministry, the local New Testament church. Those are the ones that he's ordained to be his missions, right? Missionaries, right? And so I've had people call me before and want them to come by, and, well, you wouldn't believe some of the calls I get. Yeah, you would, probably. But they wanted to come by and present their work, and I say, well, what do you do? I mean, where are you going? And they didn't have the authority of a local New Testament church to send them out. They were just going to go out, what? And make a way of living by taking our money, right? That's what they were going to do. And I said, no, I'm sorry, we don't do it. And one guy says, one guy got upset. He got mad at me. And I can't understand why anybody won't get mad at me, do you? And he got mad at me. And I said, well, your attitude just now just proved that you don't need to be in our church, right? And I hung up, and then I went home and got my pistol in case he comes around, you know? So what do we learn today? Number one, reflect on the compassion of Jesus and have the same compassion he did, right? Number two, rely on the resources of Jesus. You think we could have done all the things we've done in the last few years without the Lord doing it through us, right? You think we could have, right? No. And to receive the blessings of Jesus, lastly, look in verse 19 through 21 again. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. So there's no way he could by himself given out all this food, right? So he uses us, right? Verse 20, and they did all eat and were filled. I like that. There's nothing like a field Baptist, right? They were all filled. And I know what you're thinking. Pastor, don't say they were Baptists, but they were close to it, right? And they took up the fragments and that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Receive the blessing of Jesus. See, if you're his hands and his feet and he puts something on your heart, whether it's spiritually or physically, and you do it, you're going to get a blessing. Amen? Didn't you feel good when we helped those wounded veterans in Alaska through Samaritan's Purse? In a marriage retreat, didn't you just feel good about that? Well, y'all say you did anyway, okay? Didn't you feel good when we helped that church over in Nepal, right? And we're going to be looking for, there's going to be getting some letters about that soon. Don't you feel good when you help somebody individually, right? And you don't toot your own horn and brag about what you did, right? If you do that, you just lost your blessing. But receive the blessing. There is blessing for serving the Lord, right? So we can't even imagine the blessing of being involved in this miracle here. Can't you imagine the disciples who didn't believe they could feed the people, and then they saw this, and you know what a blessing that was, and they had fragments to fill 12 basketfuls. Brother Robert, I have heard sermons on the 12 basketfuls, and they just make it say something that don't even say. Right? If it's in the text, you need to say it. But you just can't say why there was 12 basketfuls, because it doesn't really tell us outside of this. The miracle was in the multiplication, right? As we serve the resources of Jesus, he will multiply and use it to meet the needs of other people. How many times have you ever helped someone, you didn't have the money to do it, but next thing you know, a windfall came your way, right? Right? I mean, he will supply his needs. And so what I think the 12 baskets is representing, remember, they were filled. They had 12 baskets, fragments left over. More than what they started with, right? And you know why I believe they had 12 fragments? And I can get this from the text, because the 12 disciples didn't want to do anything. But he made sure each one of them, to bring a rebuke on them, had a basket full of fish and bread. Y'all see that? That's why there's 12, right? And I'm not one to just preach a sermon on the 12 baskets, you know. But I believe that's what happened here. So tonight, my challenge to you is this. As we talked about, learn about Jesus, who's compassion. That's one of his characteristics. Rely on the resources of Jesus and receive the blessing from Jesus for being used to meet the needs of other people, spiritually and physically. I don't have to tell you how many lost people are out there. And there's a lot of people sitting in our churches that are lost. Right? Me and Brother Marcus were talking about that before church. You go to funerals now, nobody's lost, right? Everybody's saved. They can go out and live like a dog, you know, and go to the bars and all that, and the preacher get up there and send them to heaven. And that preacher's going to have to give an account one day for that. And me and Faye went to a few funerals together, and I look over there at my wife. I say, honey, are we at the right funeral? Go up there and look and see if that's that guy in the casket, you know? It's just amazing. But there's lost people everywhere. And the church can't verbalize a witness in these times we're living in. You have no witness to verbalize, right? Let them know what's happening. Let them know what's happening. And rely on Jesus. He's sufficient to meet every need. And I can give you testimony after testimony of people I pastored that relied on Jesus and he met their need and the needs of others. I had an elderly lady in Adel. And Faye, where's Faye at? Yeah. You know, Miss Ashmore. I don't know if you remember her or not. When we first got there I'm trying to get it out of my mind, but when we first got there to Westside Baptist, that lady was helping everybody. We thought, man, that's the richest woman in the church. And she turned out just to be an elderly lady that was living off her Social Security. But she helped everybody she could, and God blessed it. She ended up with 12 fragments of baskets, right, when it was all over. And they're all around us like that. So that's my challenge to you tonight, is be used by God. That's the way it works, right? Jesus to the people, to the disciples, disciples to the people, right? You see, it's not Jesus going over, bypassing his church and going to the people. It's Jesus working through his church, right, to get what needs to be done, okay? As our musicians come tonight, maybe you want to evaluate your own life. Am I doing all that God wants me to do, physically and spiritually? Am I helping other people in need? People, do I look upon them as a burden, or do I look upon them as compassion? Are you moved to action? And you say, I've heard this over and over. Well, that's why we got government programs. No, God wants his people to meet the need. How about it tonight? The altar's open. Maybe you need to evaluate. Don't be left out of this cycle, right? Make yourself available to be used by God. He is sufficient. He is sufficient to meet our every need. Whatever it might be tonight, whatever might be grieving your heart tonight, he is sufficient, right? If we just receive it from him and let it multiply and let it go on to wherever it's needed, right? Maybe there's someone here tonight you'd like to unite with our church. We invite you to come. Maybe someone needs to be scripturally baptized. We can take care of that too. Maybe you just want to come to the altar and do business with God. There's needs all around you. And in these hard times we live in, we can't shut our eyes to them. We got to be used. Many things that y'all do, I know nothing about. Many things I do, you know nothing about. Many things we do know because we've done them corporately and we've been blessed. Whatever it might be tonight, we ask you to respond. Father, have your will and way in this service. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
The altar is always open if you would come.